بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is our 38th session. A reading from Arabic Lessons in Fiqh, Level 3 in Mustawa Thalith, Islamic University of Medina Arabic Language Institute. The topic today is a continuation of what we started last week, and which we didn't complete because of the limitation in the time, which is the topic of what topic we did last week? Al-Hubub, Zakat al-Hubub, well, Al-Thimar, Zakat al-Hubub wal-Thimar, the obligatory Zakat on grains and fruits. And we were reading last week from the textbook from the Arabic Language Institute, third level, Fiqh book, pages 58 and 59. And we also read something from secondary sources from what? From Bulugh Maram before that? Al-Wajiz, naam. We also read from Al-Wajiz. And we were reading from Bulugh Maram, from the commentary of Bulugh Maram, which we were near the end of it. And we stopped because of the time restraints. So inshallah we're going to pick up where we left off last week with the reading from Bulugh Maram, or the commentary on Bulugh Maram by Sheikh Safiur Rahman al-Mubarak Fouri, rahimahullah rahmatan wasiya. And then inshallah we're going to read some comments from Al-Jami li-Ahkam Fiqh al-Sunnah by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Thaymin. And then we're going to read from the Ikhtiyarat al-Fiqhiyya from Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah. And inshallah, close this topic to the next topic, inshallah. So, if somebody can remind us from last week of some of the points that we covered last week. Something that we covered last week in our discussion. Na'am, Abu Bakr. Any just general themes of what we covered? Mm-hmm. والعيون أو كان أثريا أشر نعم نعم النادح ها نصر أشر okay so the hadith of عبد بن عمر رضي الله عنهما which he mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if the crops are being irrigated or being watered by natural sources, yani as-sama meaning rain, or by al-uyun, yani sources of springs or whatever that's there naturally, then or it is athariya, yani meaning it is that it is receiving the water without any effort from the farmer, yani it's taking the water directly from the roots under the ground, because there's water near, the grounds are wet or whatever, then the zakat on such crops is going to be al-ushur. And it's going to be 1/10 of the crops. But however, if the land is irrigated by the effort and work of the farmer, then the amount of the zakat, yani, is going to be less than 2, yani nisf al-ushur. Yani nisf al-ushur, 1/20. This is the hadith of Abu Ibn Umar. And some of the other hadith mentioned the same thing. Abdul Haq, now. And also we read, right, that the nisab on the crops is khamsa awsaq. Yani meaning, what is awsaq? Sittuna sa'a. 60 sa'a. And one sa'a is what? It's four handfuls. Yani both hams cut together is a mud, and four mud is one sa'a, and 60 sa'a is a wasq. Huh? 300 sa'a is the nisab. Yani, in other words, a person has to reach the minimum amount. If they have that minimum amount, now the zakat became obligatory upon them. And the quantity, the miqdar, or the qimah to zakat, how much they have to give, is dependent upon how the crops are, yani, are grown. Yani, are they grown by some effort by the farmer to water the lands, or is it yani without any effort, just from the rain from the sky or from the natural water sources that's near the land. Now. Okay, so also we said from the conditions for the zakat to be obligatory is not only has to reach the nisab, but also the grains have to have become hardened, and the fruits from the trees have to, their ripeness has to have appeared. Yani they have to appear to have become ripe. Then at that time, yani the zakat became obligatory if it reached the nisab. Now. Abu Musa wa? Yeah. Asnaf. Ash-Sha'ir. Ash-Sha'ir. والحنطة يعني barley and wheat التمر dates زبيب. What is زبيب؟ يعني it's raisins, but originally it's what, عنب المجفف يعني grapes when they dried up, raisins. Okay. And this is also a very important hadith. We're going to talk about this today. That's going to be our discussion for today, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Yani that the Prophet ﷺ, when he sent Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhuma to Yemen, he told them, do not take zakat from the people except from these four types of crops. And he mentioned barley and wheat and dates and raisins. And this is going to be our discussion for today, بإذن الله تعالى. Okay, these are some of the points that we talked about last week. And of great importance is the hadith that Abu Bakr mentions here now. And after mentioning what we said last week, I just want to read from our original textbook, yani the Arabic Lessons in Fiqh for the Third Level Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. Yani after the hadith of, second hadith that they mentioned, hadith of Jabir, radiallahu anhuma, that he heard from the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, yani in that which has been watered from the anhar, from the rivers, awl ghaim, yani from the clouds, the rain, or there's ushur, yani ushur, one tenth, and from that which has been watered by irrigation or by yani some human effort, then there's nisf ushur. This hadith is reported by Imam Muslim and Abu Dawud rahimahullah. Waqad warada an nas. This is the point that I want to mention from last week's discussion. Waqad warada an nas wal ijma' على خمسة أصناف. Huh? That they came to us, the text, yani from a textual evidence, Quran or Sunnah, and from Ijma, yani upon five different types of crops. الشعير والحنطة والسلت والزبيب والتمر. And we said at that time that four of them are well known from the text. As far as the fifth one, Allahu A'lam about that. But the four we are in agreement upon, that there's Ijma upon these four, yani barley and wheat, and raisins and dates. They said at that point, وَيُقَاسُ عَلَيْهَا مَا فِي مَعَنَاهَا مِنْ كَوْنِهَا قُوتًا مَكِيلًا مُدَخَّرًا كَالْعَرُزْ وَالذُّرَّ وَالْعَدَسْ وَالْفُول وَغَيْرِهَا. So these five are mentioned in, or four are mentioned in the text, and there's ijma upon them. And يُقَاسْ عَلَيْهَا مَا فِي مَعْنَاهَا. And then we also, by qiyas, we may also include other things which come of, have the same, yani standing as them, مِنْ قَوْنِهَا قُوتًا, that they are sources of nutrition, nourishment, food that the people eat, مَكِيلًا, can be measured as, yani كَالَ يَقِيلُ, measure, yani dry measurement, volume, مُدَخَّرًا, that which is stored up, like the things that we may include with them by qiyas, if they have these characteristics they mention here, quten, And we said this is something that's different. There's the difference of opinion that it has to be food or nourishment. There's a difference of opinion about that. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Faymin says this is not a condition, that it has to be food. Rather, other things that come from the earth that are not for nourishment may also be included in zakat. I mean, that's just a point, right? A point that we mentioned last week. Qutan, makilan wa mudakharan is pretty much agreed upon by the people of one view concerning the zakat on that which grows from the earth. Okay? That is, that it's measured by volume, it can be measured by volume, and it can be, and the people normally store it. Yani they keep it, they store it up to use later on. It's not something that if you don't eat it immediately, it'll go bad. It has to be that which the people normally store and that they can measure by volume. And the things that he said you can make qiyas upon them by these characteristics, he said, like rice and like corn and like lentils and beans and other than that. That's what we read last week. And then they said, yani, and the zakat is obligatory if it reached the nisab, which is 300 sa'a or 5 awsuq. And we mentioned the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, reported by Imam Ahmad and Ibn Majah, that the wasq, yani the singular of awsuq, it is 60 sa'a. And then, as Abdul Haq mentioned, it's obligatory when the grains become hardened and when the fruits from the trees show their ripeness. Yani the ripeness becomes clear. This is the time of the harvesting, and yani, that was the end of what we mentioned there. After that, we read from Al-Wajiz, fi fiqh al-sunnah wal-kitab al-aziz, and they said, ثانياً زكاة الزروع والثمار. Okay, we're going to summarize what they said, but salt, yani, is something, it is a type of crop that's similar to hanta, or is similar to sha'ir. Yani, there's difference about this particular matter, but it's similar to one of those. Okay, it's something similar to them. But it's not mentioned in the hadith that's well known. It's not mentioned in the hadith that's well known. So we count that one out, we just make it four. Right? Because most of the scholars, they mention four things. And that's going to be what our discussion is about, those four things, not including the fifth. Okay, so in Al-Wajiz, they said, under zakat al-zurur wa thimar, yani grains and fruits, they said, al-asnaf alladhi tu'akhadhu minha. What are the types of crops which zakat is taken from? And they stated, la tu'akhadhu al-zakat illa min asnaf arba'atin. Bayyanaha hadha al-hadith. Yani the zakat is not taken except from four types of crops. Four types of crops which are made clear in the following hadith, the hadith of Abu Barda from Abu Musa and Mu'adh that Abu Bakr mentioned, that the Prophet ﷺ missioned them to Yemen to teach the people the affair of their deen. And he ordered them, do not take sadaqah. This is the text of the hadith, لا يأخذوا الصدقة إلا من هذه الأربعة. The Prophet ﷺ told them, do not take sadaqah except from these four types of crops. Al-Hinta, wa-Sha'ir, wa-Tamr, wa-Zabib. And this hadith is reported by Al-Hakim al-Mustadrak, al-Bayhaqi in al-Sunan, and Shaykh al-Albani in Silsila Hadith al-Sahih has said that it is Sahih. Our discussion is centered around this particular matter. They also mentioned the Nisab. We don't need to mention that again. We already mentioned that in our summary of what we covered last week. And then we started reading the hadith concerning this particular hadith. As Al-Hafidh ibn Hajj al-Asqalani, this is the first point I want to make. This hadith is mentioned in Bulugh Maram. Who collected the hadith in Bulugh Maram? Al-Hafidh ibn Hajj al-Asqalani. He collected this hadith. And he collected two of them together in Bulugh Maram, Kitab al-Zakat, hadith number 602 and 603. The hadith of Abu Musa al-Ashari and Mu'adh ibn Jabir radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet ﷺ said, do not take concerning sadaqah except from these four types, barley, wheat, raisins, and dates. Al-Hafidh says, Rawahu al-Tabarani wal-Hakim. Rawahu al-Tabarani wal-Hakim. Okay, today our discussion is going to be about ikhtilaf. So every point is going to be important to remember. What's the point? Okay, if we have to argue this issue, whichever position we take, we have to know what's our proof. So the first proof I'm going to start with, for those who say there's only four types of crops that you can take zakat from, on their behalf, the first proof is what we ended with last week, that Al-Hafidh ibn Hajj al-Asqalani narrates these two hadith in Bulugh Maram. And he says after the first one, رواه التبراني والحاكم. Then he narrates وَلِدَّرْكُتْنِي, similar hadith, but with this wording from Mu'adh, أَمَّا الْكِثَّاءُ وَالْبِتِّيخُ وَالرُّمَانُ وَالْقَصَبُ فَقَدْ عَفَى عَنْهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Hafiz says, وَإِسْنَادُهُ, إِسْنَادُهُ what? We read it last week. Da'if. إِسْنَادُهُ da'if. He mentions two hadith. The first hadith, hadith of Abu Musa and Mu'adh, he says, Rahu Tabarani wal Hakim. Then he mentions the narration of Dar-Qutni that as far as the cucumbers and watermelons and Ruman. Who's that? Who said that? Nasir? Chinese apples. Chinese apples. What do they call them? The official name of them?
Pomegranate.
Okay. Pomegranate. And qasab, yani like sugar cane. As far as these, Mu'adh says, it's narrated in this hadith from Dar-Qutni, he said that the Prophet ﷺ excused the people from zakat on these things. Al-Hafidh says, wa isnaduhu da'if. The first hadith, he said, rahu tabarani wal hakim, but the second hadith, he says, the hadith of Dar-Qutni is da'if. What does that suggest to us? It's adding proof that these are only four, but he said that this one from Dar-Qutni is da'if. What does that tell us about the first narration? What is the view of Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani concerning the first narration? Does he consider it to be da'if or not?
No, it's not da'if.
It's not da'if. He considers it to be authentic. Otherwise, he would have done the same that he did to the second narration. He would have said, isnaduhu da'if. So this is the first point. That Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani, he considers this narration, the first narration, don't take salaka except from these four, he considers it to be authentic. At least hasan, if not sahih. Okay, so now in this discussion of this hadith last week, we were reading the explanation of the terms in the hadith, the words in the hadith, from Sheikh Safi Rahman Mubarak Fouri, rahimahullah, and he was explaining the meaning of the words, and then he came to the point where we stopped at. والحديث يقتضي حصر فرض الزكاة في هذه الأصناف الأربعة من الحبوب والثمار. Who's saying this? This is the commentary. Sheikh Safi Rahman is saying in his commentary on Bulugh Maram, this hadith يقتضي حصر فرض الزكاة في هذه الأصناف الأربعة من الحبوب والثمار. That this hadith, it indicates to us that there is hasr. What is hasr? Restriction of the obligation of zakat to these four items from the grains and from the fruits. Al-hadith yaqtadi hasr. That's what he says. This hadith indicates to us that there is hasr. There is restriction. Zakat, the obligatory zakat is limited to these four grains and fruits. But then he says, وَقَالَ بِهِ جَمَاعَةٌ. Huh? What does it mean? وَقَالَ بِهِ جَمَاعَةٌ. يعني, this language is not familiar to us. قَالَ بِهِ جَمَاعَةٌ. A jama'a, a group of the scholars, held this view. قَالَ بِهِ, they held this view. A group of scholars held this view. وَقَالَ آخَرُونَ But some others said something different. Now here is the ikhtilaf. Here he's bringing out the ikhtilaf. He said first, the hadith indicates to us that there is limitation in what is obligatory of zakat to these four items. And a group of scholars held this view. And another group of scholars said something different. What did they say? They said, إِنَّ كل ما يقوم مقام هذه الأصناف الأربعة من حيث الاقتيات يعني القوت, from حيث being قوت يعني النourishment, والاتخار and being something that's stored up, تجب فيه الزكاة. يعني every type of crop يقوم مقام هذه الأصناف الأربعة, that takes the same form or shape or fits into the same position as these four, then, yani from the perspective of being what? that is something for nourishment and is something that's stored up, it is obligatory upon it also to take from his zakat. This is the second view. That every type of crop that is similar to these types, in that it has the same characteristic, that is food for nourishment and that is stored up, then it's obligatory to give zakat from it. So now we have two views. We have the first view, which he says, the hadith indicates. And then we have another view of other scholars who said, no, we can make qiyas. If the reasoning why these things are you have to take zakat from them is because they are nourishment, they are food, they are stored up, then if that's the case, then everything else that's similar to them is also obligatory to take zakat from them. Okay, who likes the first view? Who likes the second view? Who likes the first view first? Let's see how many people. Nobody. Who likes the second view? Few people. And who doesn't have any view at all?
I don't have so far enough.
Okay, he said he doesn't have enough weight to take a view. Okay, we're going to talk about it. But let's first, right now, we're going to see at this point, yani who takes this side, who takes that side. We're going to put you on different sides of the room so you can face your opponents. Okay, based on the dalil that we have right now, a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying clearly, do not take zakat from other than this. We don't have any other evidence yet. That's the only evidence that we have. This is one view based on that, and the other view is based on qiyas. So which view is stronger so far? The first view is clearly stronger. Yani, no question about it. Yani, how can qiyas supersede a clear text from the Prophet ﷺ? I'm saying till now, up until here. Okay. But there's a hadith though. So where's the hadith for this qiyas?
It's coming.
Oh, it's coming?
Maybe you have.
Oh, you wish that it was coming. You wish that it was coming. You just wish that it was coming. There's some reason. They just explained it by qiyas. They just have qiyas. They said these things are similar. They're qiyas. That's it. That's the end. There's nothing coming. Don't wait for it. Okay, no, let's finish the discussion. We just want to see where we're at. You know, because why? Because it's true that some issue, if you only hear one evidence, it's clear to you that that's right. But then when you hear the other evidence, you might flip to that side. When you hear the full evidence, maybe you'll be stuck in between. You don't know where to go.
Then what do you do?
So we're trying to think through it now. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to figure out how do we deal with this serious ikhtilaf. There's some ikhtilaf where the evidence is crystal clear. We don't even know how they came up with another opinion. But it's okay. There's ikhtilaf and we know what our view is. But sometimes there's ikhtilaf where it's not really clear which one is stronger. So then what do we do? That's what we want to figure out. Okay, so let's see if there's some clear ikhtilaf here or is it just any opinions and then there's a correct view. Let's look at it. He said other scholars hold this other view. Then he said that as long as they have the same yani characteristics. Remember, qut, that it being a qut, they mentioned that in our textbook. That, yani, in the textbook that we were reading from, yani, last week, it said, they said, what? To make qiyas upon whatever has the same likeness to these things, such that it is qutan, wa makilan, wa mudakharan. But they gave three characteristics. That is the nourishment, that is measured by volume and is stored up. Here, they only mention two. As far as it being a nourishment, Sheikh Uthaymeen, I said last week, he says that's not a condition. That's not a condition. So really they're saying, basically, according to this opinion, if it is something that's used for nourishment, and it's also that which is, what? Stored up. Something that the people store, then it should be, zakat should be taken from it. Yani because some people have this food, it's a nourishment, and they're storing it up, while other people may be hungry. Why should they be allowed to store it up? Except that they have to give some of it in zakat to the people who are in need. That's the thinking. But that's not a text. That's not a nas from the Quran or Sunnah. That's like qiyas. Okay? Then the Shaykh, Shaykh Safi Rahman, he says, Rahimahullah, والحصر في الحديث ليس حصرا حقيقيا. Now it looks like Muhammad bin Saeed, he's trying to get something from this to support his opinion now. الحصر في الحديث, he says, the Shaykh says, والحصر في الحديث ليس حصرا حقيقيا. And this is not a restriction, a real, precise, mandatory restriction. حقيقيا. He says, بل هو حصر إضافي بالنسبة إلى ما كان يوجد في اليمن. He said, this is حصر إضافي. يعني, it is a حصر that's connected to something else. بالنسبة in relation to what? In relation to ما كان يوجد في اليمن. What was found in Yemen? That's a view. But what's the proof for it? Yani, it's a view, right? Okay, it makes sense though. He was trying to say that. So you and Sheikh Safi Rahman, mashallah, you're on the same page. Somebody else was saying that last week too. Nasir, you want to be with that one? You want to join that view? Okay, he said that this was in reference, it's hasar, in reference to what was present in Yemen at that time. In other words, the Prophet ﷺ knew what they were growing in Yemen, and he said, from the things that they grow in Yemen, only take from these four. That's his view. But does he have a proof for that? Yani, does he have some evidence to support that view? It makes sense. It does sound logical, right? That perhaps that's what's meant here. That he didn't mean you can't take zakat from any crops except those four things. He made a reference to the things that are in Yemen at that particular time. Sounds reasonable. Or he gave another interpretation. In case you didn't like that one, he gave another one. أو بالنسبة إلى الخضروات التي لم تفرد فيها الزكاة. Or it might be a حصر that is in relation to the vegetables or crops, the vegetables that at that time no zakat was taken from them. Yeah, in other words, this second view is what? That perhaps what is meant here is that from the vegetables, there are some which there's obligatory zakat and some which are not. So the ones that there's obligatory zakat are only these four. So only take from those four. The other ones which are not obligatory to give zakat on, don't take from them. That's how he explained it. Then he said, فَيَجِبُ إِخْرَاجَ الزَّكَاتِ مِنَ الْأَرُزِ وَالذُّرَّ وغير ذلك من الحبوب التي يقتاتها الناس في كثير من البلاد. So therefore it is obligatory to bring forth the zakat from rice, from dhurra, corn, and other than that of the grains which the people store up in many of the lands. Yani the other things that the people store from foods, also zakat is obligatory to be taken from them. And then he closed by saying, this is the end of his discussion. وَهَذَا هُوَ الْأَرْجَحُ عِنْدَ الْمُحَقِّقِينَ وَهَذَا هُوَ الْأَرْجَحُ يعني الراجي عند المحققين. What is the meaning? This is the predominant view of those who are محققين. Check is verifies. يعني محققين means those who حقق يحققوا الأمر يعني المسألة. They looked into it carefully. They studied it يعني extensively. They looked at every aspect of it. And then they brought the view that's based on thorough research. يعني the meticulous researching scholars. The محققون. He said this is the أرجح and the المحققين. If he had said that and there was proof to support it, then I think we will يعني rest with this, rest our case and we can go home. If that was really the predominant view amongst the muhakkikun scholars. But is that so? Yani, it doesn't appear to be what Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani intended in Bulugh al-Maram when he brought these two hadith. He intended to support the view that only these four. He even brought a hadith that he says is weak to support the view that it's only from four. What is the view of Hafiz Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani? It appears from the hadith he collected in Bulugh al-Maram. And what is his intention in Bulugh al-Maram? In the introduction of Bulugh al-Maram, he says that he has what? Collected the hadith related to ahkam. So that the student and the scholar will have a summary of the rulings, the ahadith which rulings would be based upon. So what did he bring concerning this issue? He brought these two hadith. One of them is weak, he said it's weak, but guess what? Put it in there also to support what view? Only four. Is Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani from the Muhaqqiqeen? Is he from the Muhaqqiqeen? Like who after him? Who else if not him?
Can you remind us what are the four hadith, like the second hadith of the...
What other four?
He said
the kitha, yani khiyar, cucumbers, bittikh, watermelon, huh?
Rumman,
and sugar cane, or the things like sugar cane, like that. That's what he mentioned. But he mentioned that, to say what? That the Prophet ﷺ excused people from these things. Meaning that he didn't make zakat obligatory on everything that grows from the earth. He excluded some things. So not everything is, yani zakat is to be taken from it. That's the point that he seems that he's bringing by mentioning these two hadith. That there are some things only take from this and other things are excluded. Even though he said the hadith is weak. Now, okay, so that's a point, okay? That's a point. But we have a long discussion today, so let's not get too sidetracked. Okay, go ahead, Abdul Haq, go ahead. I'm just going to summarize what Sheikh Al Uthaymeen
said.
Are you excused from them?
Yeah, we're excused from them. So it seems it appears in that case that Hafiz, Rahimallah, is saying that the zakat is not only taken from the poor. Because this hadith, I think it appears that's the point he's making here.
The point, if that hadith was sahih, then the meaning of it is that not everything zakat is taken from. Zakat is not taken from everything. There are things which the zakat is not taken from. The point is that, yani always saying that everything that grows from the earth, that's a food, that is stored, people store up, that can be measured by volume, that all of it, yani, requires zakat. Are we saying that? That's one view of the scholars. That everything that grows from the earth is yani, zakat is upon it. Okay? And there are other scholars who are saying that only these four things. And then there are scholars who are saying these four things and everything that's like them. So there are actually three views. Okay? So now we have three views. Maybe last week we only had two views, but now we have three views. Okay, I'll give you a third view. And we're going to look at those views if we have time. What time is it right now? Okay, we have enough time to complete it if we don't get a lot of sidebar discussions. Please leave the judge alone and all of that stuff. Let's just stick to the subject. Okay, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen in his book, Al-Jami li Ahkam Fiqh Sunnah, Al-Jami li Ahkam Fiqh Sunnah, Volume 2, on page 86, he begins with the topic, Bab Zakat Al-Hubub wa Thimar. Okay, this topic, he goes on numerous pages, right? I'm just going to mention, at first he mentions Dalil, ayah from the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah 267. And then he mentions that, yani at the end of the ayah, it said, وَمِمَّا أَخْرَجْنَا لَكُم مِّنَ الْأَرْضِ. That which we have brought forth, yani Allah has brought forth for you from the earth. The Shaykh says, وَمِمَّا مِّنْ هِيَ هَذَا مِّنْ لِلْتَبَعِيدِ يعني بَعْدُهَا بَعْدُهَا. Some of that in reference to al-jins, and in reference to al-fard. That means that not every type of crop that comes from the earth is, yani, zakat is upon it. Nor the types that there's zakat upon them, not all of it is also, yani, obligatory to make zakat on. Meaning that there's some types of crops that there's no zakat upon. And there's some types of crop that there's zakat upon it, but not all of it is, yani, subject to zakat. Because what? Because Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah 267. And why is that? Because there are some crops which there's zakat upon them, like sha'ir, and yani barley and wheat, hanfa and so on. But guess what? Not all the crop, everybody who has a crop of barley is going to yani be subjected to zakat. Why? Because there has to be a nisab also, right? And so on. So the Shaykh says that, and then he mentions another ayah, Surah Al-An'am. We read that last week, 6th Surah, 141st ayat, where Allah mentions, وَآتُوا حقه يوم حصاده and give its حق its right يعني الزكاه on the day of the harvest. And then he mentions from the hadith that we mentioned last week, both of them, that the crops, the land that's watered by from the sky or from the springs or the land that's wet, yani there's 1/10, it's yani the amount of zakat you have to pay if it reaches the nisab is 1/10, and if it's yani through man-made efforts, the farmer has to do something, then it's a half of a tenth or 1/20, and then laysa fi ma duna khamsat al-awsaq sadaqa, yani that the nisab is yani khamsa awsaq or 300 yani sa'a. The Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he says, وهذه النصوص تدل على وجوب الزكاة فيما يخرج من الأرض. That these textual evidences point to and indicate the obligation of zakat on whatever comes from the earth. لكن لا كل شيء, but not everything that comes from the earth. He said, but not everything that comes from the earth. ولا كل نوع, and not every type of crop that comes from the earth. بل هو مخصوص, مخصوص نوعا ومقدر كما. But rather, these textual evidences are مخصوص, they are limited. There's عام and خاص, they are مخصوص, they are limited in terms of the types of crops that you have to pay zakat on, ومقدرا, and also the amounts that they have to reach in order for them to be taxable, or for zakat to be taken from them, I should say. The quantity, the يعني the type, and also the quantity has to be considered. Not everything that comes from the earth. And that shows that he's against the view that everything that comes from the earth is yani subject to zakat. And by the way, this is the opinion of some legitimate scholars of the past and some scholars of the present. I'm not going to put the description on those scholars, just scholars of the present. He's reading now, the Shaykh is explaining, yani, from the books of fiqh, Hanbali Madhab, and then he's given his view concerning them. That's how he's normally doing it. So it's written in the book, Tajibu fi al-hubub kulliha. And his zakat is obligatory on hubub kulliha, every grain. Walau lam takun qutan, even if it's not a source of nourishment. That's how it's written in the book, right? Wa fi kulli thamar yukal wa yudakhar. And in every fruit that is measured by volume and is stored up. Katamran wa zabib, like dates and raisins. That's how it came in the book. Sheikh is now explaining these statements. Tajibu fi kulli hubub, yani it is obligatory in every grain. Kulliha. Then the Sheikh says, ma yakhruj min az-zuru', yani whatever comes out from what the people, the farmers grow. Al-buqul, yani herbs and greens. وَمَا أَشْبَى ذَلِكَ, and whatever is similar to that, like al-bur, wheat, al-shayir, barley, al-arruz, rice, al-dhurra, yani corn, al-dukhn, yani dukhn is millet, yani pearl millet, yani a type of something like a grain, right? I've never eaten it, but in any case, something like that. The Shaykh is saying, yani whatever grows from the ground, zurua, yani from the, that the farmer plants, and herbs, greens, and whatever is similar to that. And then he mentions like all of these different things that he mentioned. And other than them. So he's explaining what they mean by every hubub. He's saying it means this and everything that's similar to that. Even if it's not qutan, even if it's not something for nourishment. He says, for example, hab al-rashad, yani garden pepper grass, or al-kuspara, yani coriander. Or habat al-sawda, yani black seed. وَمَا أَشْبَاهَا, and whatever is similar to them, فَهَذِهِ غَيْرُ قُوت, these are not things for nourishment. These are not foods that people eat. وَلَكِنَّهَا حَبْ, but they are grains that come forth from the farmer's farm, yani that he grows. So he's saying here, he's arguing the point against what? That it has to be a قُوت. It has to be something for nourishment. Not so, he's saying. That's the view of the Shaykh. وَفِي كُلِّ ثَمَرْ, and in every fruit that is measured by volume and that's stored up. And today, the Shaykh also said, I won't read all of his comments because it's too long, it's like 6 or 7 pages. But he also said that what? That today, we don't have to have the standard that it has to be measured by volume. Because he said a lot of things that in the time of the prophet were measured by volume. Today, they're measured by weight, by scales, not by volume. So whatever was measured by volume in the time of the prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if today they weigh them on the scale, it's still applicable. Because it's the same thing, it's based on that. Okay? So then the Shaykh, he says, and likewise, oh, he says, yani everything that is measured by volume, or today it may be on the scale, weight, and that is stored up. And then he said, al-thamar, the thamar, what he means by fruit, is whatever grows on the trees, as opposed to the grains that come from the ground. The thamar is what grows on the trees. So everything that is measured by volume and stored up, it is obligatory to give zakat from it. So the thamar, the fruit, that is not measured by volume and is not stored up, saved, the people store it up and save it and hold it, that's not like that, then there's no zakat upon it. And likewise, if it is something, he said, even if it is something that's eaten, yani it's a kut, doesn't matter. If it's not stored and it's not measured by volume, then there's no zakat on it. Even if it is a food that the people take for nourishment, like al-fawakih, fruits, and al-khadrawat, and vegetables, laysa fiha zakat, li'annaha la tukal wa la tudakhar. Yani, so whatever is not measured by volume and is not stored up, it doesn't matter. Even if it's a food, there's no zakat upon it. That's what he's saying. And then the book says, dates and raisins, and he says, dates, they are both measured by volume, at least in the old days, and they are stored up for future use. And raisins are also measured by volume, and they stored up. And there's no consideration or concern about the ikhtilaf, the difference between al-kail wal-wazn. Yani, the kail is what? Whatever is measured by volume. And the wazn is whatever is measured by weight. Even if there's some difference, it doesn't matter. And the Shaykh goes into a long explanation, which is a benefit, but yani, we don't have the time for now. And what he ends up by saying is that if something is stored up but it's not measured, there's no zakat. If it's measured by volume but it's not stored up, there's no zakat. It has to have both of these. It has to be measured by volume and it has to be stored up. And what we mean by being stored up is what most of the people, the generality of people, if they store it up and save it, then that is what we're talking about. Even if some people don't store it up. Because he says some people only eat dates when they're fresh. They don't store them. They don't let them dry up and save them for later. They only eat them fresh. So it doesn't matter. As long as most of the people do store this up and save it for later, then this is what counts. And then the Shaykh, yani he has some more important points, but this is the point that I wanted to get to for today, for our ikhtilaf. He says, what? Now after he said, what, everything that comes from the earth, that's stored up and measured by volume, even if it's not eaten, you have to give zakat on it. Then he says, وَعَنْ أَحْمَدْ riwayah, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ. Ahmed is men? Who's Ahmed? Ahmed ibn Hanbal, al-Imam Ahmed. Shaykh Uthaymeen is saying, وَعَنْ أَحْمَدْ, yani al-Imam Ahmed, riwayah. There's a narration from Imam Ahmed. أَنَّهَا لَا تَجِبُ, yani it's zakat. Illa fi arba'atu ashya, except in four things. في الحنطة والشعير والتمر والزبيب فقط. Riwayah from who? Al-Imam Ahmed, رحمه الله. It's Ahmed, yes. The Musnad, Musnad Imam Ahmed from the Sab'a, نعم. Al-Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal, رحمه الله. There's a narration from Imam Ahmed. Yani, when he says, An Ahmed riwayah, okay, this is important technical language, right? An Ahmed riwayah, that means that Imam Ahmed has more than one view. Yani, has been narrated from him different views. One riwayah from Imam Ahmed is like this. Okay, so whenever he says, An Ahmed riwayah, or An Shafi riwayah, that means that he has more than one view has been conveyed from him. This is one of the views that has been conveyed from him. In this view, it says that Imam Ahmed said, there's no zakat except in four things, wheat, barley, dates, and raisins only, to the exclusion of everything else. Imam Ahmed is narrated from him that he said this. Li hadithi warada fi dhalik. Based on what? Based on a hadith that mentions this. Where did Imam Ahmed get it from? From a hadith. Did Imam Ahmed say this based on this hadith and he thought the hadith was da'if? Not possible. ولكن لو صح يعني إذا شيخ نعم شيخ أوثيمين saying لكن لو صح شيخ أوثيمين says لكن this what there's a narration from Imam Ahmed he says لكن لو صح هذا الحديث لكان فاصلا في النزاع if that hadith was صحيح it would be definitive in this dispute يعني the dispute would be finished now this is important I'm reading from Sheikh Uthaymeen. I'm reading from Sheikh Uthaymeen. Sheikh Uthaymeen said, there's an narration from Imam Ahmed saying that only these four, only, based on a hadith. Sheikh Uthaymeen then said, if that hadith was sahih, it would be fasilan fin nizah. Then the dispute between the scholars would be finished. If that hadith is sahih. Now this is noteworthy because what Sheikh Uthaymeen is saying, if it was sahih, that's the end of the discussion. So if that hadith is sahih, then what? If it is sahih, then what? Then that's the end of the discussion. But obviously, Sheikh Uthaymeen doesn't consider the hadith to be sahih, right? Because how could he say what he said before, that zakat is taken from everything besides those four? How can he say that? If he knows this hadith, and he says, saying now, if the hadith is sahih, the discussion, there's no more argument. Safiya Rahman. He said based on hadith to make qiyas. But Sheikh Uthaymeen is not saying that. Sheikh Uthaymeen is saying, this is his words. If that hadith is sahih, khalas, that's the end of the discussion. Look, see what I'm saying. Today we have an ikhtilaf, right? That's what I'm saying, pay attention. Because I'm not reading this just to fill up the time. I'm trying to make you hear what's happening here. Sheikh Uthaymeen obviously doesn't consider this hadith to be sahih. But he is saying, if it were sahih, then the discussion, the argument is finished. Because this hadith is conclusive. Fasilan, fil nizah. It's conclusive. Ain't no more discussion after that. Sheikh Uthaymeen said, forget about that qiyas. If this hadith is sahih, that's the end of the discussion. That's his view. That's his view. That's all that I'm saying, that's his view. So, it's clear from this that he doesn't believe the hadith is sahih. Because he says after that, even if he didn't say after that, but he does say after that, yani this would be the end of the discussion if this hadith was sahih, lakinnahu da'if. But the hadith is da'if, Sheikh Uthaymeen says. Now, let us think now about what did Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani consider about this hadith in Bulugh Maram. Naam. What did Sheikh Safiya Rahman Mubarak Fouri consider about this hadith in his commentary on Bulugh Maram? He considered it sahih, that's why he tried to explain it away. He didn't say the hadith is da'if, he said, perhaps the meaning of it is this. If you're not convinced with that one, he gave another argument. Perhaps the meaning of it is something else. Huh? So this is what we have to be thinking about when we look at an ikhtilaf, we have to take every point. Everything that the scholars say has weight, we have to pay attention to it. Sheikh Uthaymeen then goes on to say, yani that some of the scholars said that olives are also obligatory zakat, but they said the Chinese apples. Forget about promulgate. I don't know how to say this word. when I grew up, we used to say Chinese apples. Khalas. I mean, that's what I know. The Sheikh, he says that there's an opinion, another opinion of the scholars, other than what was narrated from Imam Ahmed about only four things. He says, some scholars said, even olives, you have to give zakat on them. But the same scholars said, not the Chinese apples. And then he narrates the ayah that mentions both of these things. The olives and the pomegranates. Whatever. Pomegranate. Do they have those in Trinidad? So how you know this word? Pomegranate. Yeah, Abdullah. This is the farmer right here, Abdullah. Do they have him in Trinidad? He has it on his farm, on his property. So he knows what he's talking about. Okay. Yeah, Sadiq. Get out of here, man. Look, Sadiq from Brooklyn. Sadiq from Brooklyn. Okay, listen. He said they said this, but they didn't take this one. So he said, we reject their view. Because if they said that the olives are subject to zakat, then they have to, same ayat came with both of them. How are they rejecting this? Then he mentioned another opinion. وتجب في كل ما يخرج من الأرض مما يزرعه الآدمي من فواكه وغير فواكه. This is a third view that zakat is obligatory on everything that the farmers grow, that the human being, يعني يزرعه الآدمي, from fruits and other than that. Is and then he mentions يعني the evidence, but their opinion is really يعني we're going to reject that. So we're not going to go into the evidence because we don't have time. Then the Sheikh says والخلاصه, يعني the summary of the matter is and the حبوب والثمار تجب فيها الزكاة بشرط, يعني grains and fruits are subject to zakat with the condition أن تكون مكيلة أو مكيالة أو مدخرة, that it can be measured by volume and that is something that the people store up. But if it is not like that, يعني it's not either one of those conditions are not met, then there's no zakat on it. And the Shaykh al-Faymin rahimahullah says هذا هو أقرب الأقوال وعليه المعتمد إن شاء الله. يعني that's his خلاصة, that whatever is measured by volume and is stored up from what grows from the earth, then from حبوب and ثمار, grains and fruits, then it's subject to zakat. وَهَذَا هُوَ أَقْرَبَ الْأَقْوَالِ, this is the closest of the views of the scholars, وَعَلَيْهِ الْمُعْتَمِدِ, and this is what we rely upon, inshaAllah. And the Shaykh, he also goes on to say, and I'm not going to read it, but I'm just going to summarize it, he says that there's also a condition for zakat, and that is that it has to reach the nisab. And we mentioned that before, but he mentions that and he discusses that. And then he says, يعني another condition. He says, الشرط الثاني, يعني النصاب is the first condition. And the second condition, he said, أن يكون النصاب مملوكا له وقت وجوب الزكاة. I mentioned this in passing last week. I don't know if anybody was paying attention. He said, second condition is that the nisab has to be in the possession, in the ownership of that person at the time of the obligation of zakat. When is the time of obligation of zakat? The harvest time. When the grains are hard and the fruits, what? Show their ripeness. At that time, whoever possess it, if it reached the nisab and they possess it at the time that the zakat is obligatory, the time of harvest, then that's a condition. Meaning that, and the Sheikh has a long, good discussion about this, but time, again, meaning that if a person possesses it after the time of harvest, full nisab or more than the nisab, zakat is not obligatory upon them. Like how? Like a person who bought from the farmer his harvest. He has the crop above the nisab, he owns it, but he didn't own it at the time of harvest. The zakat is not on him. The person worked for the farmer and the farmer told him, if you collect the crops for me, pick the fruits or the whatever. What do they call that? Yani sharecropping, whatever, I don't know. If you do that for me, I'll give you 1/3 of the crop. 1/3 of the crop is above the nisab. Does he have to pay zakat, that person? No, because what? He didn't own it at the time of harvest. He owned it after it was harvest. So he doesn't have to. And so on, if a person had the nisab and they died, and then the inheritors got it from them, do they have to pay zakat on it? They didn't own it at the time of harvest. He have a long discussion about this, which is actually beneficial. It really makes us to look at this fiqh, not on the surface, but to go into the details.
Or if the farmer before he gives the person the 1/3.
No.
And he harvests the crop.
He has to pay zakat on it. Even if he gives some of it away, salary to the worker or whatever, or charity or anything. At the time of harvest, if his crop reached the nisab, doesn't matter what he does after that with it, if he gave it all away, he's going to be in debt to pay zakat on that amount. If he gave it all away, guess what? He's still got to give zakat. Okay, because the zakat is upon him if he owned it at the time of the harvest. Sheikh Al-Faymin goes on. I'm going to just make one more point from him and then I'm going to go to the last reading. Here he says, another khulasa, summary. He said it has to be that which is measured by volume and stored up by the people from grains and fruits. سَوَاءً كَانَ قُوتًا أَمْ لَمْ يَكُونَ. No matter if it is something that's a source of nourishment or not, as long as it's what? Something that the people store up and it is something that's measured by volume. He went back to that point again and he said, أنه يشترط لذلك الشرطان, that there are two conditions One of them, it would have to reach the nisab, and the other one, that the person who has that crop at the nisab owns it at the time of harvest. Those are the two conditions. Then he said, mas'ala. This is an issue that there's difference of opinion about. Is it a condition that the hub or the thamar, the grains or the fruits, have to be a source of nourishment? He said, al-madhab la yashtarit. Al-madhab la yashtarit. What does that mean? This is technical language here. Al-madhab la yashtarit. Ya Ibrahim. Where's Ibrahim? Huh? Well, listen, hold on, huh? The madhab, what madhab? The Hanabila, that's the point. Al-madhab, if Shaykh Uthaymeen says al-madhab, he means the Hanabila, the Hanbali madhab. Because Shaykh Uthaymeen is from the Hanbali madhab. If he says al-madhab, al means definite article, right? It means the madhab. What madhab? His madhab. Al-madhab, la yashtarit. The Hanbali madhab does not make it as a condition that it has to be a source of nourishment. As long as it's something that's stored up and measured by volume, فَفِيهِ zakat. Then you have to give zakat. Al-qawl al-thani, but he said what? But there's another opinion, second opinion, that it is a condition that it has to be qutan, and that's what we read in our textbook in the beginning. They said it has to be qutan, has to be measurable in volume, and it has to be something that's stored up. But the Shaykh says, according concerning this madhab, لكن الظاهر الأموم لقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم, that what is apparent is that this is general. That is general, yani whatever is less than yani 5 awsuq, there's no sadaqah on them, but if it's more than that, you have to give sadaqah. Doesn't matter if it's a nourishment or not. This text from the Prophet doesn't specify it has to be a nourishment. And the Shaykh already said before we read, even if it's what? Some things that grow from the earth that are not nourishment, like what? Habat as-sawda, it's not a nourishment. According to his view, it's taxable. Then he mentions, yani, that the amount of the tax, or the zakat, zakat, yani the amount of the zakat is based on the farmer's effort that he makes. Yani, if the crops are, yani, irrigated by their roots going into the ground, getting the water, or if it comes from rivers and streams, or if it comes from rain from the sky, then there's 10%. And if he has to make an effort, then there's 20%. He says the hikmah of this, and this is the end of what I want to read from the Shaykh, says, he said, al-hikmah min dhalika, the difference between it being 10% or 20% is based upon what? Kathratu al-infaq fi alladhi yasqi bi ma'una. Yani, the amount of the spending of the farmer, the amount that he has to spend in order to irrigate the land, the effort that he has to put forth in order to do it, wa qillat al-infaq, or the little amount of spending that he has to do in order to irrigate the land without any effort. فَرَاءَ الشَّارِعَ. Today we had the word sharia in level 1 class. What did we say a sharia means in level 1 class? We said it means the street. I said it has another meaning. Here it came right here. Another meaning, it means the one who makes the law, the one who legislates the sharia. Yani the same exact word, الشارع, it has two different, completely different meanings. In the book today we had it meaning the street, and here we have فَرَاعَ الشَّارِعُ. Yani the legislator, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, considered هذه النفقة وخفف على ما يسقى بمعونة. So he considered that the farmer is irrigating the land with difficulty and spending on it, trying to get the land irrigated, and the one who didn't spend, and so he considered what? Lightening, yani, the amount of zakat on the one who has to spend a lot of money in order to get his land irrigated. And the last thing that we want to say today is the other view. Yani, we heard one view, right, that the crops, yani, whatever comes from the land, as long as it is measured by volume and stored up, then it's zakat, yani, there's zakat on it, even if it's not a nourishment. If it's not taken as a food for nutrients and stuff like that, still there's zakat on it. That's the one view. And the other view, we're going to read from the Ikhtiyarat al-Fiqhiyah from Shaykh al-Albani. You have a question about what we said already?
Yeah, what we just said.
Go ahead.
So how are you saying that Shaykh al-Uthaymeen is from the Hanbali madhab? When you just said that he was saying that Ahmad, he said that he is restricting the poor, and him is opposing to that view.
We said that Qala Ahmad fi riwayah. Fi riwayah. That means that this is one of the views that's narrated from Imam Ahmed. But maybe he has another view, and that's the view that Sheikh Uthaymeen is taking.
You were saying last time that the title of the book means that it's not coming from the Mas'ab, but from the Sunnah of the Prophet.
Which book?
His book.
Al-Wajiz?
Jami'a.
Oh, Jami'a Ahkam Fiqh Sunnah.
They think it's a book from the Hanbali Madhab.
He's not muta'assib.
He's not
like... What does muta'assib mean? Fanatical. He's not fanatical to the madhab. He's not taking every opinion, even if there's no proof for it. Yani he's Hanbali madhab. He's Hanbali, yani he's a faqih from Hanbali madhab. But he's not limited to the madhab. He's mujtahid. He's able to make his own rulings because he has that level of knowledge. And that's why I was stunned by a student of knowledge, a real student of knowledge. He was the head of the Markaz Dawah, appointed and sent by the government of Saudi Arabia, from the Ministry of Religious Affairs, and he argued with me over a point of some work that we were working on, and I told him, this is what Sheikh Uthaymeen said. He said, no, we don't accept that.
Wow.
And then I came to learn that many people in Saudi Arabia do not like Sheikh Uthaymeen's views because he opposed the Hanbali Madhab in so many points. He goes against the madhab. He goes by what? The evidence. Forget about the madhab. We are not stuck to any madhab. This is the way of the real scholars. They're not stuck to a madhab. If the madhab is good, it's strong evidence, fine. If not, so the Sheikh Uthaymeen, wallahi, so many points he went against the madhab. But not just by, I feel like this, based on evidence. Based on evidence. And some people, they didn't like that. I heard from some students there, they said he destroyed the madhab because he taught the people something different from the madhab. Even Imam Ahmed himself, he didn't stick to a madhab, right? He had so many views. On every issue, there's a riwayah or riwayatain or thalatha riwayat from Imam Ahmed. On every issue in fiqh. He had one view, another view. Sometimes he changed his mind when he saw the evidence. Then that's what I believed before, khalas, throw it away, I have another view now.
So do you mean that the preponderance madhab in Saudi Arabia is the Hanbali?
Yes, it's the only madhab in Saudi Arabia, Hanbali. What's the madhab in Yemen? Shafi, in Egypt. Mostly Shafi and Maliki also. And each country, they have some madhab.
Even from the scholar, the great scholar of Saudi Arabia.
The scholars in Saudi Arabia are Hanbali. But that doesn't mean that they only follow Hanbali madhab. And then if they know evidence, they no, of course. But I'm saying in terms of officially, their madhab is Hanbali madhab.
No.
The Hanbali madhab is the official madhab in Saudi Arabia. Well, I mean, they might say they're Hanbali. No, it's possible. They only teach from Hanbali books. That's well known. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, Sheikh whoever, any all the big scholars in Saudi Arabia, they teach from Hanbali madhab. That doesn't mean that they can't go against the madhab. But as far as the official madhab in Saudi Arabia is Hanbali madhab. That's what the scholars teach from. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Because we know that the scholars in Saudi Arabia of Sunnah, that they follow the Sunnah. And even if it goes against the madhab. But Sheikh Uthaymeen went against the madhab a lot. Look, we only have a little bit of time left. Really, Please don't ask a question unless it's essential. Because we're going to finish today. Okay, we're going to finish this today. Maybe I'll just skip, some of it, I'll just try to go through it quickly. We're reading from Ikhtiyarat al-Fiqhiyya li-Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasiya. These are chosen opinions in fiqh of Sheikh al-Albani. We read from this before a lot of times. Okay, this is page 206, issue number 6, Zakat al-Zuru'a. Yani the zakat on things that grow from the earth, the crops, right? ذهب الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله إلى أنه لا زكاة إلا في حنطة والشعير والزبيب والتمر. الشيخ الألباني ذهب يعني held the view that there's no zakat except in these four: wheat and barley, dates and raisins. لأن ما عداها لا نص فيها. Why? Because everything other than that, there's no textual proof for it. Okay, let's hear the second opinion now. Why? Because other than that, there's no textual proof for it. وَهُوَ مَذْهَبُ إِبْنِ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. And this view is the madhab of Abdullah ibn Umar رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. Huh? This madhab, that the zakat is only on four things. This is the madhab of Ibn Umar. قَالَ فِي صَدَقَةِ الزُّرُوعِ وَالثِّمَاءِ This is what Ibn Umar said concerning the zakat in grains and fruits. مَا كَانَ مِن نَخْلٍ أَوْ عِنَبٍ أَوْ حِنْطَ أَوْ شَرِيعٍ يعني zakat is only that which came from the nakhla, yani dates. Or عِنَب, grapes, yani raisins. Or حِنْطَ, wheat, or شَعِيرٍ, barley. That's what Ibn Umar said. The zakat is only in that which came from the date palm tree, the grapes, yani when they dried up to raisins, wheat and barley. Rawahu Abu Ubaidah. This statement from Ibn Umar is reported by Abu Ubaidah. And he gives a reference for it. Who is Abu Ubaidah? Al-Qasimi Ibn Salam in his book, Al-Amwal. He died in the year 224. Abu Ubaidah died in the year 224. That means he came from the early generation of Muslims. His book, Al-Amwal, is considered to be one of, if not the most important book concerning wealth in Islam. Abu Ubaid. Abu Ubaid narrates in his book that Abdul Ibn Umar says only from these four things. That's the madhab of Abdul Ibn Umar. Then he says that this narration came bi sanadin sahih anhu, from Abdul Ibn Umar. وَنَحْوَهُ فِي مُسْنَدَ الشَّافِي And the like of it is also narrated by Imam Shafi in his Musnad. Hadith number 656, بِسَنَدٍ صَحِيح Now, the reason why I'm emphasizing this is because right, we want to know, is this view, is it authentic or not? Is the Hadith authentic? Did anybody hold this view? Abdul Ibn Umar hold this view. And the Isnad is Sahih. In both the book of Abu Ubaidah and in the Musnad of Imam Shafi. This is what the view of Abdul Ibn Umar. وَهُوَ مَذْهَبْ الْحَسَنَ الْبَصْرِ And this view is also the madhab of Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah. رواه عنه أبو عبيد Also, narrated by Abu Ubaid from Hasan al-Basri. This is his view. بِأَسَانِيدْ صَحِيحَ Huh? With multiple isnads that are sahih. From Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah. وَهُوَ مَذْهَبْ الثوري Who is the Thawri? سفيان الثوري وما أدراك من سفيان الثوري Who is this سفيان الثوري? One of the greatest scholars of the people of Sunnah in history of Islam. This is his view. وَالشَّعَبِي وَإِبْنِ سَرِينَ Muhammad ibn Sirin وَإِبْنَ الْمُبَارَكِ عَبْدُ الْمُبَارَكِ وَأَبِي عُبَيْدِ وَغَيْرِهِمْ مِنَ السَّلَفِ All these people held this view. From the Yani Muhammad ibn Sirin is Imam of the Ani Tabi'in. Abdul Mubarak, one of the greatest scholars of the history of Islam. All of these scholars held this view. Wuhuwa Riwayah and Ahmed. And this is also one of the views that was conveyed from who? We already knew that already, right? Also Imam Ahmed. So now we have what? We have Abdul ibn Umar, Hasan al Basri, Sufyan al Thawri, al Sha'abi, Muhammad ibn Sirin, Abdul Mubarak. And it has also been narrated from Imam Ahmed. وَهُوَ مَذْهَبْ إِبْنِ حَزْمْ يعني الظاهري Ibn Hazm also. But Ibn Hazm, he didn't consider the zakat on grapes. On raisins. He didn't consider it to be authentic. فَلَمْ يَقُلْ بِهِ So he didn't hold that view, but the other things he agreed with. وَهُوَ مَذْهَبْ الشَّوْكَانِي وَأَتَبَرَهُ الْمَذْهَبِ الْحَقِّ And it is also, we can add to them from the later scholars, Al-Imam Al-Shawkani. This also his madhab. And he considered that this is the madhab al-haq. What is the evidence? وَاحْتَجُّوا All of these people. What evidence did they use? بِمَا رَوَى عَنْ أَبِي بَرْضَى عَنْ أَبِي مُوسَى وَمُعَاذِ بِنْ جَبَلْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنَّ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم بَعَثَهُمَا إِلَى الْيَمَنِ يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسِ يُعَلِّمَانِ النَّاسِ أمر دينهم فأمرهما أن لا يأخذ الصدقة إلا من هذه الأربعة الحنطة والشعير والتمر والزبيب What did they use as a proof? What did Abdul Ibn Umar consider a proof? What did Hasan al-Basri and Sufyan al-Thawri and Abdul Ibn Mubarak and Ibn Muhammad al-Sirin? What was their proof for their opinion? This narration of Abu Barda from Abu Musa al-Ashari and Mu'adh ibn Jabal. They used that hadith as their proof to support their view. رواه الحاكم مستدرك البيهقي in السنن وصححه الألباني في الصحيحة and also in إرواء الغليل. They thought this hadith is sahih. Forget about Sheikh al-Albani. But what about Abdul Mubarak and Sufyan al-Thawri? What do we do with that? What do we do with that? Hassan al-Basri. ويؤيد مذهبهم and what supports their madhab أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حين خص هذه الأصناف الأربعة للصدقة وأعرض عما سواهما قد كان يعلم أن للناس أموالا وأقواتا مما تخرج الأرض سواها فكان تركه ذلك وإعراضه عنه عفوا منه كعفوه عن صدقة الخيل والرقيق. يعني what supports this view is that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم at the time when he specified these four items for zakat and he turned away from other than them, he knew at that time that the people had wealth and had foods that from that which came from the earth other than these four. Did he know that the people had any other wealth? He knew it, but he skipped over those other things and he left it in the same way that he didn't make zakat on the people who possessed horses and the people who possessed slaves. What was more valuable than a horse or a slave? And the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't say if you have 100 horses, you have to give zakat. If you have 100 slaves, you have to give zakat. Why did he skip over that? Huh? The same way he skipped over these other crops, the same way he skipped over other wealth that he knew the people had. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحِيُّهَا. He doesn't speak from his own self. It's nothing but revelation that's revealed to him. The Prophet ﷺ, he doesn't legislate this. Rather, Allah legislates through the Prophet ﷺ. He said, كَمَا قَالَ أَبُو عُبَيْدٍ. Yani this point that the Prophet ﷺ knew people had other wealth and he skipped over other wealth in other affairs as well. He didn't make them subject to zakat. He said this was mentioned by Abu Ubaid, yani and Ibn Zanjawi. وَأَيَّدَهُمَا الشَّيْخَ الْأَلْبَانِي. And Shaykh al-Albani supports them in this view, saying, wa alaykum salam. Shaykh al-Albani supports them in this view, saying, I'm watching the clock, Abdul Halim. Don't interrupt me, please. Let me finish. Shaykh al-Albani supports them, أَيَّدَهُمَا. Shaykh al-Albani supports this view, saying, وَهُوَ اِخْتِيَارُ أَبُو عُبَيْدٍ فِي كِتَابِهِ الْأَمْوَالِ. Yani Shaykh al-Albani is saying, this view is the view that was chosen by Abu Ubaid in his book Al-Amwal. Like he's saying, what Abu Ubaid, all that he brought, I agree with this. فَرَاجَعَ كَلَامَهُ فِي. So go back, Shaykh al-Albani said, you want to look at this issue? Go back to Kitab Al-Amwal, by Abu Ubaid. Go back and look at what he said. And this is Rakam 1381 to 1409. How many points he made? 1381 to 1409. Evidence and proof and evidence that he brings to support this particular view. Then Shaykh al-Albani said, وَبِهِ يَرْتَحْ الْمُسْلِمْ مِنَ الْأَقْوَالِ الْمُخْتَلِفَةِ الْمُتَضَارِبَةِ مِمَّا سَيَنْقُلُهُ الْمُؤَلِّفُ وَالَّتِي لَيْسَ عَلَيْهَا دَلِيلٌ سِوَى الرَّأِي. Shaykh al-Albani is Rahimahullah, mashallah, he's a strong, yani, argue, debater. Yani, he said, and this view is what the Muslim is at rest with. Yarta bihi al-Muslim. Yani, the view of what? That the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knew what the wealth the people had. And he stated clearly, with clear Arabic language, don't take zakat from other than these four. He said, this is the view, yartah al-Muslim, from amongst الأقوال المختلفة المتضاربة يعني contradictory different views of the people مما from that which will be يعني mentioned by the author والتي ليس عليها دليل سوى الرأي. And those views, there's no دليل for them except their opinion. And then I'm going to close يعني وذهب عمر ابن عبد العزيز يعني they mentioned another view يعني the view of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Who's Umar ibn Abdul Aziz? The Khalifa, the righteous Khalifa that came after the four Khalifas. He said this is his madhab, and it is also the madhab of Al-Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah alayhi salam, and it is also the madhab of Al-Imam Imam Dawud al-Zahiri. This is also their madhab. وَرَجَّحَهُ ibn al-Arabi. And also, Al-Imam ibn al-Arabi considered this to be the preponderant view. وَأَطَالَ فِي تَأْيِيدِهِ. يعني, the view of what? The view that everything that grows from the earth is subject to zakat. He said, this was the view of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, Al-Imam Dawud al-Zahiri, and it was also considered to be the strongest view by Ibn al-Arabi. And note I said al-Arabi because Ibn Arabi is the Sufi madman who believed in kufr. This is the scholar of Islam, Ibn al-Arabi. Now, Maliki scholar, Ibn al-Arabi, he's a Maliki scholar. And he, atala fi ta'yidihi, and he went to length of trying to support this view that everything that comes from the earth is subject to zakat. وَاخْتَارَهُ الْقَرَضَاوِي. And this is also the chosen opinion of Yusuf al-Qaradawi في فقه الزكاة. In his book, فقه الزكاة, ذَهَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَنَّ الزَّكَاةِ فِي كُلِّ مَا أَخْرَجَتَ الْأَرْضِ مِمَّا يَزْرَعُهُ الْآدَمِي. يعني that they held the view, all of them, the last of them, Yusuf al-Qaradawi, that everything that comes from the earth, from what the human being plants, is subject to zakat. And they use as proof the ayat that we mentioned earlier from Surah Al-Baqarah, yani that everything that Allah, whatever you have earned, and whatever Allah has brought forth from the earth, and they also use the ayat that we mentioned last week and this week, yani that the first ayat is Surah Al-Baqarah, 267, and the second ayat is Surah Al-An'am, 6 Surah 141st ayat, and give its right on the day of the harvest, yani the zakat on things that grow from the earth. And this is after having in the ayats having mentioned yani different types of plants and fruits and things that grow yani in the earth, and then they mention the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 1/10 is taken from that which is watered naturally, and 1/20 from that which is watered by the effort of the farmer. And the final statement, قَالَ السَّنْعَانِي. Who is السَّنْعَانِي? Abdul Razak السَّنْعَانِي is the scholar of hadith. Yani, that's the Musannafat of Abdul Razak. There's a later scholar from the scholars of hadith, السَّنْعَانِي, Muhammad Ali السَّنْعَانِي. He is the author of the book, Explanation of Bulugh Maram. What is the famous explanation of Bulugh Maram? Famous explanation of Bulugh Maram. We're supposed to know this book. Subul al-Salam, Sharh Bulugh Maram by Imam al-San'ani, one of the contemporary scholars. Same time, lived in the same time as Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. Al-San'ani says, في Subul al-Salam, وحديث معاذ وأبي موسى رضي الله عنهما وارد على الجميع. The hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal and Abu Musa, warid ala al-jami'. Yani is a proof against all the other views. Wal-zahir ma'a man qala bihi. And the apparent meaning of this hadith is in support of those who held the view that stated in this hadith. That is, hasru al-zakat ala al-asnaf al-arba'a. Yani limiting the zakat to those four items that are mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this authentic hadith. قال السنعاني. Why? لأنه حصر لا يقاوم بأموم ولا قياس. Because this is a حصر, a limitation, a restriction in clear language from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that cannot be opposed by some general text or some قياس that's from the يعني عقل of the human being. Text of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فالأوضح دليلا ما الحاصرين للوجوب في الأربعة. So what is more clear in terms of evidence is with those who limit the zakat to those four things mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith of Mu'adh bin Jabal and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, and those scholars who considered it to be authentic, and which Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah stated that if the hadith, لو صح هذا الحديث لكان فاصلا في النزاع. If that hadith is sahih, then it is, يعني, game is over. يعني, there's no more discussion concerning this matter. This is the end of what we wanted to say. And the time is, we went 6 minutes over time. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Go ahead. Quickly. Now? Oh, you want to extend it? No, we're not going to extend.
What is our extending? Because you asked a question in the beginning. Uh-huh. You said that we need more proof.
Okay, so how many people like the first view that Yani is limited only to four? How many people are in agreement with the view?
Can we change teams?
You could change teams. How many people say it's not limited to the four, rather it is Yani inclusive of whatever is similar to them? Yani from whatever can be stored and whatever can be saved up. Okay, so in the first time, it was the opposite. Most of the people had one view, and now we got a little bit different. But in any case, look. In any case, look. The thing is this, right? The majority view, according to Sheikh Uthaymeen, the majority view is that it's not limited to four. Even though Imam Ahmed, even though Abdul ibn Umar, even though Sufyan al-Thawri, Abdul Mubarak, Muhammad ibn Sirin, all of them held the view that it's limited to four. The majority view is that it's not limited to four. So, yani, there's weight on both sides, right? But, and as far as the textual proof, dalilan, yani, the strength is with the dalil.
Even with the dalil, because he was sent with specific reason. For them, if the Prophet had said...
So, Abdul and Umar didn't know that?
No.
Abdul and Umar didn't know that they were sent to a specific reason? Yani, Sufyan al-Thawri and Abdul al-Mubarak, they didn't know that he was sent to a specific reason?
The Sahaba were on that position.
Huh?
The Sahaba were there on this position.
Well, we don't know that anybody has the position that is open to everything. But we know that Abdul ibn Umar...
Yes.
And who is Abdul ibn Umar?
Okay.
Huh? Look, anyway, we're in somebody else's time now. We're going to stop here, inshallah. Yani next week we can have this discussion at the beginning of the next subject. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.